Welcome to episode 35 of the Jazzy Conversations with Jazz podcast. I am your host, Jazz Mar, Jazz Bennett, mother, educator, host, and I have a fantastic show for you. You know that for the month of June, I have been celebrating all of the dope fathers that I know. June, we celebrated fathers all month long because they shouldn't just get a day. They should get 365 days of love every single year. So I just wanted to show all of the fathers out there that I truly appreciate all of the efforts that you make with your kids. If you are a committed dad, you are so dope to me because I was a daddy's girl, still am, and it meant the world for me to celebrate my father. So this is episode 35, Razor Sharp, with my special guest, Mr. Prince Hitson Jr. He's a father of two. He's a CEO, an entrepreneur, a mover and a shaker in the Florida area. I'm going to say across the globe because he's actually global with some of the things that he's doing. And so I wanted to pay homage with him. This is my final episode spotlighting fathers for the month of June. Now we're going to carry it out and we'll always celebrate dads. Now don't get me wrong, but this is the final episode. And so I am so excited to have him on the show. So I'm going to give you another round of applause, Mr. Prince Hitson Jr.
Thank you.
You are very welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Prince, you know, you are giving me a dream right now because I've always wanted to film in a barbershop.
That's what's up.
I'm telling you, I've pictured it. Wanted to film in a barbershop. I think it's Jay-Z and LeBron James and it's some, sure. You know, so they have a podcast, like a TV podcast that they do on HBO. I think it's on HBO Max. And I'm like, when I saw that, I'm like, yo, they're doing what I want to do. So you real life, real deal, am helping me to cross something off my bucket list. God dog it, I got me an interview in a barbershop. Look at that.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. I'm actually looking to get on a standalone building so we can actually work something out where you can have a nice space for that.
Just let me know. And I will be down for it.
Definitely working on that.
Listen, so we are in My Touch Barbershop. And I'm looking around and I remember when I came in and it was like, boom, you started having the murals on the wall. And, you know, everything just started coming together. So how long have you been in operation with My Touch? Not necessarily just here at this location, but how old is your brainchild?
So, like you said, here at this location, it's been 10 years. December 4th will be 10 years. I've been cutting the charger. I was just asking for the charger so we stay live on Facebook.
Yes. So, for those of you who are tuning in, we are on, you know, I have my podcast situation, but then I also have a situation where we go on IG and we go on Facebook, we go on different streaming platforms to try to give you a picture and also to capture the sound of the podcast. So if you're tuning in via Facebook, I'm going to wave to you and say, hey. If you are tuning in via IG, I'm going to tune in and say hi. And so also, if you are listening to the podcast and you're like, what's going on in the studio, Jazz? What we're doing right now is making sure that our Facebook audience is able to still stay with us.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna get Prince, but we good.
We're good.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
just me and myself.
Like, you know, like I'm gonna get them. Like
these the best shows, by the way.
And it is just being real, just being transparent. Boom. I'm down for it. So you've been here for 10 years,
right?
And so, total, how long have you been?
I went to a cosmetology school. I went to Travis Career Center, graduated there in 2009.
Okay.
I was actually cutting in the barbershop in 2008. I was blessed with the opportunity to work at a barbershop here in Lakeland, Florida, where the owner allowed me to come in without my license and cut. So that's why I still give back to the barbers that don't always pass the test the first time, because I know how serious that can be with your nerves. And, you know, the average person is not a good test taker.
Yeah.
You know, with just coming out of school, the nerves and all the pressure that you're up under, mm-hmm. you have to, you know, give them a shot. So it's been since 2008. I mean, okay. I started at my mama's house in like my parents' house back in like 06.
Gotcha.
When I started to really take it serious and passing out cards, mm-hmm. my mom helped me pass out cards the first time in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Tagged all the cards.
Listen, you were ambitious.
Yeah. You got to go get it. It's not going to fall in your lap.
That's very true. We're going to, I'm going to circle back to that. But you know what? Listen, dude, you just celebrated Father's Day on Sunday. How did that feel? Like, how was this Father's Day different from any other Father's Day that you've celebrated?
This Father's Day was different simply because we just had our baby girl, Ocean.
Woo-woo.
And I've been hearing about for years about, you know, a girl dad.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about it, and I was wanting to be a girl dad.
Yeah.
I prayed to the Lord for that.
Yeah.
Right? So this actual Father's Day was it was a blessing just waking up to my daughter.
You know,
definitely being there with Stacy, and the energy that we share at the house on a daily basis, it was different just with my little girl being there. Mm-hmm. She's starting to jump off the bed and stuff. We gotta keep our hands on her. She'll be 10 months in a couple of weeks. So she's 9 months and a half.
So, like, are you more of the dad that's gonna try to rough her up and make her tough, or are you the dad that the daughter has made mushy gushy?
I would say the mushy gushy.
Mushy gushy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I can see it like through your photos. I'm like, that. First of all, she's such a princess. She's so pretty. Right. Like, and she is a great combination of you and Stacy. Right. Like, I'm like, I can't say that one day she looks like one of you and one day she looks like the other. It's like, she is like the dopest combination.
I say she look like me.
Of course you're going to say that.
I say
of course. Stacy, I don't know.
She has attributes of both of us.
Yes, she does.
And she's young yet. So, you know, she's a beautiful baby though.
She really is. She really is. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You know, you have a handsome son as well. How old is your son?
Raj is 11. He'll be 12 on my birthday. We share that.
Oh, that's cool.
Same day. I prayed for that as well.
Really?
I mean, we know the Lord brought it through, but I asked for that. Mm-hmm. And he's a great kid, inspiring actor, working towards his acting career. And he's doing good. He's at the Dream Center right now.
Is he?
With Jeffrey.
See, I'm trying to get my boys there as well. Like, Jeffrey has a great program. And just to segue into that, like, you're helping out with his program. Talk to me a little bit about what you're doing with his campers this summer.
So it started last year. He called me and asked me to come out. He opened the doors for me to come in, told him I could do one day or do whatever I wanted to do with the kids. So I took that opportunity as an opportunity to continue to give back to our community.
Yeah.
With the young people in schooling. Just being honest, guys, we know in the public schools we don't get a lot of information that we need on a daily basis, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, being an entrepreneur, and, you know, some of my colleagues that I bring in to that week that we're there, I'm usually there 9 to 11. We just try to fill the kids up with knowledge. And if they have any, you know, things they want to follow up with us about, we give them our cards and our information just to pour back into the community and get people to understand that it doesn't take, you know, put it this way, you can skip steps to success, right?
Yes.
So if you surround yourself with greatness,
it's okay to give them a cheat code.
Yeah. I mean, that's what life all about.
Right.
Who you surround yourself with.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, what the old saying is, if you're in a room of 4 millionaires, what's the chances of you being the fifth one?
Look, I love that. Those are great odds. I love it. I love it. And so, in what you also provide for the campers, you know, for those campers, you know, and I know a lot of them have at the fathers but the one thing I love about Mr. Jeffrey's camp is that he provides that father figure for those who may not have it. And when I say that, is because, you know, it can be fathers who are, you know, they can be wealthy or they can be well within their careers and they just may not have the time. And so what I like is that he pours back into the community and he gives that time, because like I said, like, an absent father doesn't necessarily just have to be someone who just never cared. It could be someone who's ambitious at the moment.
Right, for sure.
And then I feel like Mr. Jeffrey's program, you know, fills that gap and he steps in because he teaches them life skills. He teaches them entrepreneurship. Daily. He teaches them just, I love the faith aspect that he does.
For sure.
Like, you can't have anything without God. So I love his program and I love to see that you're being a part of it.
Oh,
so
sure.
Kudos to you with that. I saw you online today. You were taking them to barber school. So you teaching them how to cut hair? You cut Mr. Jeffrey's hair? Was that yesterday that you
that
cut his hair?
That was it.
And
that
so you did you like so for this year? Since it seems like you're spending more time with the campers, did you map out like a week worth of lectures to do with them?
Right. So what I usually do is I sit down and think about my circle of people and what we talked about last year to factor in, because if you think about it, it's a lot of information that we obtain. But if you're not, if you don't follow up with it,
right,
and hear it again, if not a different step, a level of it, you kind of just forget about it.
Yeah.
You know, thinking about all the information that we take in on a daily basis, it can be a lot.
Right.
Right. So we just, I sit down and plan out a week with entrepreneurs, and like my guy Thomas Williams was there today talking about credit. Tomorrow we're doing a semi-truck walkthrough. It's so many different ways of to make money that we just show the kids how to do what they need to do. And, you know, hopefully we touch a kid here or there, whoever he is or even she is at the moment. We're doing just the guys at the camp. But whomever they are, we can take them to the next level and whatever that is. So starting with credit, you know, business credit, you don't need no money.
Yes.
To start your business, you just need a good credit score. And you can piggyback off your parents. What we told them today, just throw that out there. You can piggyback off your parents as an authorized user if they credit score.
I was going to say, so the parents got to get on their game in order for that formula to work, right?
Right,
for sure. Right. So going back to Father's Day, because, like, you know, you guys do fill in the gap for for those kids who you know, may need that father figure in their life. But how did you celebrate Father's Day?
So Stacy took me out to this place called Hampton Social in Orlando. That was my first time there. It's a really nice place. I think that's their first location in Orlando. We had a baby girl with us, so we were just kind of like hanging out. They was having like a pink party or something.
A pink party, pink party.
They was promoting it. It's fairly new in Orlando. It's right off International.
Now, what's the name of it again?
The Hampton Social.
The Hampton Social, okay.
The Hampton Social. Really nice place, but we just went out there and hung out, had a good time, you know, had a couple of drinks.
Yeah, you did.
Hung out a little bit. That was actually Saturday. Sunday, we took my dad out. So, I mean, to me, every day is Father's Day at this point. You know what I'm saying? In my life, so it's kind of like a birthday. I don't celebrate my birthday. I do, but it's not like it's so big to me. So, like, holidays, they cool, but at the same time, we have to cherish and take in every single
every day.
As it's like your last day. You know what I'm saying? I want to be here for a long time, but I don't know when that time is me. So I'm going to maximize every day.
That's true. That's very true. And so, like, and with that, and that's a great philosophy and a great way to live every day. And that's something that I try to do too.
Right.
But now I'm going to celebrate a birthday. Like, real grand. Like, well, try to anyways, because it's some, you know, sometimes you just kind of want to be low key like this. This year I was explaining on another episode, I think, that I wanted a low-key Mother's Day. Like, I just wanted a day to myself.
Right.
Like, my oldest is 13. It was just, I wanted something different. But I love that you spent the day with your girls. Like, you know, this was your first, you know, kind of real Father's Day where Ocean is kind of alert. And, you know, she, when you say smile, she can smile at the camera. And you create all of those great moments. And so looking at you, one of the reasons why I invited you on my podcast is not only because I know what a dope businessman you are, but I can see that you are a dope father. Like, I saw the campaign that you created for your son to be able to go to the actors camp in Orlando and for people to donate, and then how talented he is because he goes to a school of the arts. And so you are creating that trajectory for him. You're setting him up for success. And it's great that you do that based off of not even something that you do to pass the business down, but I can tell that you're listening to what his dreams and his aspirations are, because what we have to realize as parents is that that's what's going to make them successful, is doing something that they love. Like, if they can wake up and do it and not feel that they even need to get paid and still feel gratified, now we're going to get paid. And I always say that. I always throw that in because I have flashbacks. Every time I say that, I will never forget. I made a comment to somebody about me hosting, and I was like, you know, I love this so much that, you know, I don't even necessarily have to get paid for it, And they took me up on that offer too. And I'm looking like, well, wait. So anyway, so every time I say that comment, I have to throw it in, but we're going to get paid though.
Come on now.
But even if I didn't get paid, I would still want to do it. So how was your upbringing, and tell me, how did you become to be the dope father that you are? Do you feel that you are a dope dad? Because I feel like sometimes when you tell people they're a great dad, they're like, I'm just doing, you know, what you're supposed to do as a man. But honestly, when you sit back and you reflect, because some people, most successful people, they kind of grade themselves or they have some sort of rubric that they go by.
So when you reflect,
are you proud of the reflections that you see?
On a daily basis, I thank God for it. But yeah, I'm definitely proud of what I'm able to do. Only through God, though.
Yeah.
Only through God. So yeah, I'm definitely I'm inspired by other dads.
Yeah.
I'm inspired by some of the other guys that was on this month, listening to some of those conversations as well. But yeah, on a daily basis, I feel like I'm a great dad. I'm trying to get better every day.
And because you are. And so tell me,
get better every day.
Tell me, how did it get to be that you are such a great dad, an intentional dad that you are now? How was your father for you?
Man, my dad, Prince Kenneth Hickson Sr. My dad, that's that dude right there.
That's that dude right there.
But even more so, my mom, Nancy Hickson, that's that baby right there, too, you know?
Got to have a combo, right?
Yeah. I was blessed with it. You know, they still been together.
Yeah.
I think it's going on with my sister. Like, it's 46 years, if I'm not mistaken. I'm putting that right there.
Wow.
46 years they've been together. And, you know, life is life, so things happen, right? Yeah. So,
that's
it's, you know, my mom was there on a daily basis. My dad was at the mine getting to the money.
Listen, you a mine baby, too?
Yeah, girl.
Listen, my dad was mosaic down. I'm like, I used to sometimes, like, hide the phone. I would just, like, rush to the phone and just hang up on them. Like, no, he's not going back to work. And because every time they would call, like, my dad, he could have just gotten home, like, 2 hours previous. And because I guess he knew his responsibilities, he would get right back up and go right back to the mine. So,
From what my dad told me, I feel like it has changed currently.
Mm-hmm.
But back when you were talking about when your dad was there, I'm sure that was around the time my dad was getting a lot of hours as well.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do nothing when they know what their job.
Yeah,
they don't do no
that's
work.
True.
They work for like maybe 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's on a tough day.
Now you seem like you know the. I don't know the ins and outs of it.
Yeah,
so.
He didn't tell me. I listen. That's my.
He don't help to the game, huh?
Work for a
that
couple
technology
of hours.
Work, huh? Yeah.
But you getting paid at Mosaic because of the chemical that's in the air.
Right.
Your job is at risk, so that's what your job they're paying you for. I know a lot of my peers want to go out there because they make the money.
Right.
But you got to factor in your health, and all that stuff that you know comes into making that.
That's true.
Mosaic money.
Yeah.
You might be dead at Mosaic.
Listen, it's facts.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you're saying that because, they chase that paper, you know, just like they do with a lot of warehouse jobs and all the other stuff. Right. But,
can't
I didn't
knock
know
them,
you.
But you got to make sure you know what you're getting yourself into.
Right.
But my parents played a huge part into just who I am as a man. Coming up, I was a quiet guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't talk a whole lot, like I alluded to earlier, which I tell the kids all the time. They used to ask me, how do you play quarterback and you don't talk? How you manage to pull that off? So I would
just
always
all smooth
tell them,
and stuff. You doing gestures.
Hey, I would always tell them in school, like, I don't have to talk to y'all, but I know how to transform when I'm at football practice.
Gotcha.
There's no way to play quarterback.
I know
you
were
talk.
Quarterback.
Yeah, I played quarterback at Lakeland High School.
Okay.
Player of the year 2002.
Listen, I was like, bring it out because make me think I was supposed to know.
Let me know. Yeah. I personally think that moment in my life really changed my life right there.
How so?
I was really at a place where I was so high on football.
Yeah.
That's all I knew.
Yeah.
Right. So when I went to junior college and I wasn't successful at football, that's where the comeback story come in.
Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha.
You want me to go on to that?
Well, go ahead. Well, you know, like just go ahead. Yeah, we can segue into that. Before we go there,
we're getting back to that. I got
like you. what type of dad was your dad? Like, was he a heavy disciplinarian or because? And I'm asking you this question this way because
my dad,
your dad
was
worked
soft.
At the mine. And
my
so
dad was soft.
He was soft.
My dad was soft.
Paul, he's just soft. Calling you out, sir.
If you see this, you know it.
You was soft. And I say the same thing about my dad. Like, my dad whooped me one time in my entire life, and he cried about it.
My partner
ain't crying. And he came to me crying about it, saying how sorry he was.
You the baby girl, so it's
yeah
different. You know, I mean, but my pops whooped me one time because my sister and my cousin told him that I called my cousin a, you know, mm-hmm. a name, mm-hmm. a vulgar name, which I didn't at the time. Think about it. I was soft-spoken, so they heard something that I did not say. Right. He hit me like two times. But my mama was a chastiser, though.
Listen, she I'm trying to down. Tell you.
But now she's soft.
Now she's soft. And I know she's I know they both are definitely mushy-gushy with the grand, so we don't even have to even discuss that.
I get on all the time about that. Like, where is the lady that raised us? Right. Where is she at? Right. She didn't do a whole lot of... She talked, but, you know... It was more like, didn't I just tell you not to do that?
Exactly.
Or you, you know, they go to talking down to their voice. You're like,
Exactly.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you had an open door policy with your parents? Oh, like, where you could go and talk to them about anything? Or did you feel that, like, were you a parent pleaser? Did you want to please your parents?
I would say it would go on and off. I wouldn't say that it was always a parent pleaser. It was more or less like, depending on the situation. So for me, I was the one that wanted to get my grades all the time. So my peers would always say that I was spoiled.
Yeah.
But in all reality, I ain't never been spoiled in my eyes.
Facts.
Ever been spoiled because I was always taught what to do. Mm-hmm. I didn't make a whole lot of bad decisions coming up. I mean, I'm human, so obviously I made bad decisions.
Right.
But a lot of stuff I learned from my sister, making mistakes and, you know, doing all her gestures. You know, so I ain't get a lot of whoopings or whatnot, but you know, I'm a person that learn from others, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah,
I don't go through it. If I see you not successful at it, if I want to do that, I'm gonna go ahead and do more research on it, you know, and go that extra step to make sure that that's something I want to do.
Good, and that's a great thing. Were they more like? Did they ever push you more towards one thing than the other? Like, was your dad like this sports fanatic where he's like, you got to be on the gridiron. Like, we're going to go out at 5 o'clock in the morning and we for the train, son, we're going to train you. Or was he more like, you know, son, I'm working at the mine. I want to teach you how to be that guy who doesn't have to answer to a boss. Or like, how was that?
So my
how dad, was his influence on you?
Gotcha. That's a good question. My dad was a worker, right? Mm-hmm. Like I said, he just retired.
Right.
So all I seen a lot of times, I would see P in passing. You know what I'm saying? If I seen him at weeks. And I won't say months, but it'll be sometimes weeks where I didn't see him. Now, as I got up in age around Lakeland Fire days, I would say like 13, 14, he came to all my Little League football games and whatnot. Yeah. He had to miss some, obviously, because he was working. But when I got around that 12 age is when we know you start to take stuff serious, right? Yeah. So for me, it was like, in my generation of people, we're competitive. Right. We're very competitive. So, like, the push that you would these days need from a parent, we got that from my homeboy.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? If my homeboy doing good, I'm trying to do good. If he good at basketball, I want to be good at basketball too. If I'm better at football, he on me about it. So, the drive for me came from just watching them go so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Not really always a conversation of, let's get up at 5 in the morning to go work. I was just literally watching them. My mama come home and cook, clean, you know, get on us about not cleaning this or that. And my sister mad at me because I ain't had to do as much. But I got good grades and stuff,
look
right?
Look at you.
You know, I just got to make sure I take out the trash.
Right.
But she would, you know, coming up, it was just, they was always there.
Yeah.
They still here. You know, when I'm having my events, when I need somebody to talk to, they're going to give me their opinion. They're going to be honest with me if I'm wrong. So I would say my mom and dad and my sister have played like the, that's my people right there.
That's what's up. And that's your village. And
right.
And so like they do, like your upbringing does have a lot to do with the adult that you're going to be. And so how would you describe yourself as a parent? How is P as a parent?
I would say that I'm I've grown to be, because initially with my son, he a boy. So I went hard with my son.
Yeah. Why y'all always do that to the boys?
You got to go hard with it because
yeah.
To me, this day and time, to elaborate on that a little bit, and this day and time, it's so much foolery.
Yeah, that's true.
Put in a face.
Yeah.
Just be honest. It's a lot of foolery put in a face. So we have to go that much harder to let them know, like, man, you a man. Mm-hmm. Don't look at, I don't care what they making you feel like. No, we ain't going that way. So for me, I would rather just put it down myself. Not always just, you know, hitting them and stuff, but more or less talking to them. And what I've learned, because I used to go outside his head, and I ain't gonna lie.
Okay.
Go outside his head about some stuff that, you know,
Yeah.
Not literally upside his head, but like I would chastise him sometimes about things that I felt like this point in my life I should have had a conversation with him about, because yeah. I don't want to push him away from me. Right. So I talked to him more, but I would say I'm a great listener as a parent.
Uh-huh.
I would say I'm a great provider.
Yeah.
As a parent. I just want to see my kids be successful, man. Yeah. Early.
That's good.
You know,
that's
early, good. not waiting until you're an adult to, you know, inspire to be successful. Like I tell my son, Raj, he's always talking about sports, obviously, right. because that's what his peers are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I reiterate to him that, son, I know exactly what you're feeling.
Yeah.
I know it. I can tell you firsthand what you're feeling because I feel the same thing. But in that same breath, I can't remember a strip like him, though. So he can remember lines.
So you
like,
know his talent. You're like, this is what I see that you are talented at.
Very talented. Like, yeah. So you trying to do what somebody else is doing, we going to let you play sports, son.
Right.
We're going to let you do that. Right. But at the same time, understand that, bruh, when they call you
yes, right.
to come out here to California, Atlanta, wherever it's at, right. we going, whether you got a game or not.
Right.
And he understand that.
He understands you
know?
It.
He understands that.
Good.
And I'm going to make sure I stay on Ocean about it. But Stacey got, yeah.
I was going to say, she seems like she pretty much yeah. has her, like yeah, she yeah. She I'm like, I think it. Ocean had like a fan page when she was in the belly.
Practically, I think she had Ocean Blue on Instagram.
Yes. Like
Ocean Blue, if I'm not mistaken,
and it's Instagram. So, I love that. I love it. I can see that you're creating a legacy for your kids and that's what I wanted. That's what I want to do too. And right. so just introducing them to different things, you know, when it comes to just different paths. Like, I right. just want them to know that you don't necessarily have to take the sports route. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily have to do broadcasting or education because you see me doing that. I do have my son behind this camera right now because I want to introduce him to a plethora of things that he could do. But you just want to expose, you just want to, you know, definitely expose them to different paths. And so I see that you are building a legacy, that you're very serious about it when it comes to being a businessman. And I love that about you. You know, I think that's what people can see when they look at you online. I think that's what people can see when they come into this barbershop. They can see that you are building that legacy for right, your kids.
For sure.
And so I'm going to segue into you as a businessman and everything that you have accomplished and all of that. And I'm going to segue into that with just acknowledging the stand-up guy that you are. I will never forget, like, I came into the barbershop.
Right.
I came into the barbershop and it may have been with William because he was, I think I was trying to get him a haircut. William may have been, I don't know, he may have been like 8 or something. I don't know. William's like 13 now. But I will never forget, I came in here and I just started talking because I didn't know who was the I think I may have to. Known who was the owner of it, but I don't know. I'm not sure. I just came in. I'm like,
that's how I like it, though. I like it like
right,
that.
You know what I'm saying? I just came in as a mother with her son, because it's like, look, I'm going to get his hair cut. You know, like, I think that's the time that guys are supposed to bond with their kids. Right. And I used to get on to his dad, like, all the time, like, this is your bonding time, but I can't stand for his head to look like that. You know what I mean?
I
was like, it became like our little bonding time to you. Go ahead.
Nine, I was nine, like, nine, three, four,
because, you know, we live and stuff. So I was like, that's our little bonding time. Good. I was like, that's our little bonding time too. And so P, I'm gonna tell you what you said. So I came in and I'm like, you know, you was in your corner. I think you were in your corner, but I was up here and I was talking and I was, you know, saying da 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 da. And at that time, I don't think you guys had any openings. But before I left out, you said Jazz. You was like Jazz, and I said. No, you said, what's your name? And I said, Jazz. He was like, Jazz, right? And I was like, I'm sorry. I was like, I don't, you know, like, have we been introducing? You were like, I'm going to tell you how I know you because I recognized your voice. And as soon as you said that, I was like, wait a minute, what? Like, you recognized my voice and you started talking to me about the stuff that you had seen me host, and I thought that was the dopest thing ever for that to occur. And it's like that impression of you was like a lasting impression. But like, you know how we see people and we follow them on Facebook, or we, you know, we know certain people. Like I knew that My Touch Barbershop was here. And I knew like the great things that you guys were doing. It probably was like right when you got the murals that you have on the walls at that time. But that to me is like, that's your brand. I think that's how you make people feel when they walk through the door. You make them feel special. You make them feel like they're somebody. And to me, that's your signature. That's your signature right there. And like, so you know how people say, you know, I may not remember your name. I may not remember, you know, a lot of things, but you're going to remember how somebody made you feel. So you made me feel so dope that day. I was like, oh, shoot, he's making me feel like I'm a star. Up in the place to be.
You are a star.
Like, go pee. I was like, go pee. So like, tell me about your journey into entrepreneurship, because that's something that's an itch that I can't get rid of. Like I know that is in the future, and you know, and I do treat my podcast as a business as well. But you know, I have grand ideas of other business ventures. So tell me, how did the P that was on the trajectory of, you know, you're an athlete, right? You had that athletic ability and that mind, that spirit. Tell me, how did you transition into the businessman that you are right now?
I can honestly say, Jason, I don't know why they know, but I can honestly say it was a conversation I had with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew my granddad, Prince Stevens, very well, but it was just this one day, I don't know if my cousin was telling me. I had heard of it when mm-hmm. I was younger, but I guess I didn't view it that way at that particular moment.
Yeah.
But they told me that he had a club and a bar. One was named The Veteran. One was named The Showboat.
Okay.
Right. So when I heard that my great granddad, which is my dad's granddad,
mm-hmm.
had those businesses, it was just like something clicked in me that day. I can't really put it into
words. Do you remember how old you were at that time?
I want to say I was roughly about 11 mm-hmm. years old or something.
Okay, so you were young when it.
Yeah. For sure.
Okay.
So with entrepreneurship, I feel like just having somebody in your circle that has took it there to that point of believing in themselves. And that's what it boiled down to with entrepreneurship. Obviously, you have to put yourself in position to win.
Mm-hmm.
I would say currently right now, Jazz, you're an entrepreneur right now.
I feel it. But you know, I think that success comes with some money. I ain't gonna even lie.
So let's piggyback on that.
Success comes with that money when you're able to take care of your family off of your passion. Right. I think that's that success for me.
So to me, it boils down to definitely investing in yourself, but
right.
understanding how to, you know, generate funds
right.
that you don't have.
That's true. That's right? true.
So as we talked about earlier with the guys at the camp there at Dream Center with mm-hmm. Risk Club.
Right.
We have business funding that we can utilize and obtain by simply having a good credit score.
Right.
Working on your credit score. So I would say with the podcast, we could talk about it, you know, our wax or whatnot. But getting those funds and figuring out how can you get your podcast into
right.
more people's eyes and more people's
right.
ears. Right. So just generating, you know, more leads, generating, mm-hmm. How can I put it? The algorithm, I know they got to have an algorithm
with the
podcast.
right,
you
right.
know, just
right.
getting it out there, even investing yep. into different people coming on your show.
Right.
Right. So I feel like you're already an entrepreneur, and I love what you have going on.
Well,
so
thank
if I can
you.
Be of any help.
Thank you. You know, I appreciate it.
Anything.
I'm going to tap on you. I'm going to tap on you because I feel like I do have a dope circle, and you know, you are in that sphere of the people that I do know, and I love seeing what you do. I see that you are, you know, you're continuing to grow. I see the
sure.
conferences that you go to. I see the different ventures that you're doing with this business. So your grandfather was the one who inspired you. He was the catalyst for you to be like, yo, he put that seed in you, and you're like, you know, this is obtainable. And so tell me when you were serious about it, like you made it a plan, and you're like, look, I can do this. I can do this on my own.
Gotcha, gotcha. So honestly, I was at a place in my life where I was working at Publix. Mm-hmm. I had been there roughly at about 4 years at that time.
Did you have stock and all that?
Yeah, I did.
And I'm setting you up like that because when you said Publix, I was like, boom, I'm going to hit the stock. I'm going to go into Publix because, you know, people serious about that Publix now.
I mean,
it's hard to take people away from Publix now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if you got a plan, if you have a plan with Publix, you can be very successful.
Yes, you can. Like, I know millionaires who retired, you know, people who've retired millionaires out of Publix, so I'm not knocking it at all.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. But you got to have a plan.
Right.
That's the key to life. If you got a plan, you know your purpose, you comfortable with being at Publix.
So solid.
I was not comfortable at Publix.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
I pray every day going to Publix.
What department were you in at Publix?
I started out in produce.
Okay.
I did like a year and a half in produce with a good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
We rocked out, then we went over to GM for a little while, then I left GM back when you could switch.
Okay.
Warehouses, I don't think you can do it as easily at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool, but it was too much labor for me. I feel like I'm too intelligent to beat my body up like that on a regular basis.
Yeah, because it is physical work.
That's like going to football practice every day. So and they have other jobs, and that's why I want no knock on Publix, because I really learned a lot about the workforce and business at Publix by my peers and just understanding the work, right? Well, I wasn't getting paid that money
at
Publix.
Yeah.
I was a laborer.
Yeah.
You know? So after doing like 5 years at Publix, man, they ended up laying me off. I had made a bad decision. I misselected some things. I was on the final. They ended up letting me go. In the midst of that happening, I was already going to barber school. I was going to Travis Career Center. I was actually trying to get them to change my schedule so that I could continue to go to school.
Yeah.
They ended up letting me go. And at the time, I had an apartment, my first apartment I had back then in my early 20s. And then I went back to my parents' house because I wasn't making enough money at Publix.
Gotcha.
So this thing I had, I got a new car. You know how it is when you're young. I ain't never buying a new car again, but my daddy told me that too. You never, when you understand business, you ain't gonna never buy a new car again. Had a new car and couldn't keep up with it financially, so I told myself, sucked up my pride, guys. So, I mean, don't
that's
care.
A big factor right there.
Don't no matter what your peers say, man, you can't go back home. Or no matter what the girls say, you like, however they look at it, you got to have a plan for your life.
That's true.
Because they're going to tell you less of a man and all this because you're at your mama's house. Tell them the kid rocks.
Today they won't.
Kid
today
rocks.
They better not, because it's tough out here today.
Yeah, because
today is a little different. Right, so I think today you can leverage that off. Anybody who's thinking about it, I have thought about it. And I've been out of my parents' house since forever.
It makes sense.
I have thought about it. Yeah, so listen. And it does. I'm like, look, hey, I can build up your house. But anyways, I digress. So, was barbering something that was a passion of yours, or just kind of was something you were naturally gifted at?
So, my blessing is in my hands, right?
Okay.
So, coming up, I used to draw pictures a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And my good friend of mine used to compete drawing pictures.
Yeah.
Then it went on to playing sports. I started off playing receiver,
mm-hmm.
tight end, then on to quarterback, then on to barbering. To me, barbering mm-hmm. is the same difference of a piece of paper.
Yeah.
But it's the opposite contrast, right? Yeah. So I'm drawing a picture on each person's head I cut,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not putting the ink or lead or whatever that paint on the canvas. Mm-hmm. I'm taking away from the canvas. So I look at every haircut as, you know, a work of art, and that's why I feel like my customer, my chill on is rad at nobody sitting in my chair.
I'm telling you.
I'm really passionate about it.
Listen, because I'm like, I'm thinking I could just come in here and get in. No. Mm-mm. That's when I did have like a short haircut because I wanted you to like cut some designs in it or something. And I'm like, you like 2 months, maybe even 3 months booked out?
No,
like,
I
what?
I ain't him yet. I ain't him yet.
Yes, you were. At that time, I'm like, I can't even get in your chair.
Maybe around the holidays, but it's usually like a week. Just to be honest. I ain't a barber that I know a lot of my peers block their schedule off. They go by the quarter. I leave mine open.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, dang.
I be wanting the weeks where they slow because I can go do this and that, catch up on this. I got my brand on too.
Precious life. I see you.
For me, it's just the ideas that we have bringing on to life. And I thank God for Stacey. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. She is incredible.
Yeah, she helped me.
Stacey needs to be on my podcast as well. Stacey is, when you talk, you talk about your lady. You built her up.
Y'all can definitely follow her.
Yeah.
On her business, should I say, simplycreativedesigner.com or on IG, yeah. Simply Creative Designing, or her personal page is Simply Stacy. She's brilliant at what she does. She's definitely a genius. She's pushed me. I remember a conversation we had when I really didn't understand visual marketing, visual branding. So I would always just have my friends to take pictures. Like, you know, they got a camera, take pictures. So I needed some pictures for the first barber battle we did in Orlando with Orlando Magic. And I needed a profile shot. Yeah. So I just had my homeboy take some pictures. They was all yellow. Right.
Yeah.
So she like, what is this?
You know what I'm saying? Of course.
Because she, you know, she do the websites and whatnot. So when I'm going to put my picture on there, she like, no, I'm gonna just book you an appointment with, you know, our guy Tyree, the photographer that we use, and he killed it as usual. Yeah. But then she was like, now watch when you post this picture online,
how much interaction you get
just off a picture.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you have a caption with it, but it's really just the quality.
Right.
Of the picture,
right?
So branding is definitely visual. Like, you gotta understand that to the T. And we got so many avenues. You got Fiverr nowadays. We don't have to know everything, guys.
Right.
Fiverr, you got people on there that do a little plethora of really everything on
there. Exactly.
But you got to be mindful of the scammers. So I would say always refer to somebody that has, you know, use it, and use the person that they've used, for sure.
And so, would you say the starting point of your comeback story was when you got laid off at Publix and you had to do something different? Like, what do you consider it?
Thank you for bringing me back.
No, you're good. Cause I mean, we're following that path. Cause there's so much more that I know that you are now on the other side of, but anybody who, and especially like those, you know, people who are aspiring barbers. Cause I feel like at one time being a barber was so catchy. Like, I think everybody wanted to be, and I don't know what it was. It could have been like with the resurgence of reality shows where you had like the tattoo shops, you know, you had the famous barbers and maybe people wanted to, you know, capitalize on that. But I'm saying this to someone who is an aspiring barber, who's aspiring to do anything out of the box. Like, for you specifically, I wanted you to be able to, you know, encapsulate the trials and tribulations that you went through so that they can know, like, you can come out on the other side of anything that you go through. So someone, and we know Prince's story because, well, we know where, we see where Prince is now. And Prince, you are successful. You know, you're smart. You know, you elevate. I feel like every so often, and it's not like it's on a time schedule, but I always see you elevate. And that's what's so dope about you. But I just wanted to know, like, what was it that, you're welcome. Like, what was it, what was your turning point with that? Like, what struggles did you overcome and then bring us to where you are now?
Gotcha. So from a barbering aspect, when I left Publix, I'm sorry, we're going to get back to that story.
No, you're good. You were on it. You were on it.
When I left Publix, I went ahead and finished at Travis Career Center. In 2009, I got my, well, I graduated from Travis, and I took the test the first time. Now, when I was at Travis, I was doing the work. Like she said, I'm a smart guy, not to brag. I'm a smart guy. I wasn't doing that work. Somebody else is doing the work for me. Gotcha. I mean, it was all women in there. And I was really just like, you know, I knew how to cut. I would be like, I'm going to study. I was studying, but I wasn't studying.
Yeah.
Like, I know I need to study. I was looking at the book, going over things, but man, I missed. I failed that test three times because I wasn't preparing myself. I was just like, I know the information, but every time you take a state board test, guys,
because this was written, right?
It was on the computer. It was I think it was 200 questions at the time.
Okay,
we didn't do practical because I know at one point prior to me becoming a barber, you had to do a practical haircut.
And see, like, that's what
Shay, we didn't have to do that. Currently, and I feel like that's something they need to bring back.
Yeah.
To a craft, or should I say,
that's industry. Interesting that they wouldn't make you do that when you.
You know, it's about the money. Now.
Goodness, yeah. About the money. I know, man. Let me just come up with a state test to create to make people take it.
But I failed that test the first time. I think you got to get like a 75. If I'm not mistaken. First time I got like a 73 on one half of it, and a 74 on the other half. So in my mind, I'm like, I got it, but you know, you right, you didn't pass, so right. you got your license. So I took it again, and I think I did worse than that. And I took it again. Now, after you take it the third time, you got to go back to school.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Do like 40 hours. So, like, I had to humble myself, like, go back in the classroom. I know they let me come in there and just chill. I had to humble myself in the sense of, like, you really feel like, why are you going back to the school with people that's in school right now? So, to me, mentally, going into that space, I felt like, man, I'm finna go back to high school.
Yeah.
That, but I had to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I had to do it. I'm cutting at the time. So it was like, you get your license, or you just going to be like the barber that you hear about, not to sell out on nobody, but just keeping it real. They very successful
like
at what they do.
I almost wanted you to say some names, but I'm sorry.
No, I ain't saying no names. Like, we ain't going to do them like that. We know who they are, right?
Yeah.
They know who they are. Right. And I know I got some homeboys like that. You know what I'm saying? It's cool if that's how they want to handle their business. I don't handle business like that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I would, to me, I would never let a piece of paper conquer me.
Right.
And that's what it is. So you got to buckle down and do what you got to do to study, whatever that is. You know, you might have to go get a tutor at that point. You know, you got to do that. You got to pass that test.
Right.
Because in order to get your business, in order for me to get my touch where it's at, I couldn't have did that without no barber license.
I got you.
I would have had to put it in somebody else's name.
Got you.
And we ain't rocking like
ain't
that.
We ain't doing that.
No, we ain't rocking like that.
I got you.
Ain't doing that. But some of the things that I went through as a barber getting into the business was just understanding the different textures of hair.
Okay.
Straight hair was definitely something that I ran away from. Yeah. Jason, boy, I probably would have turned my head.
You probably would have told Jason head up.
No, I would have turned my head like it was just like, I was kind of like, I know I cut them at school. Right, it was like the older guys came in there and got just, you know, the trim, the little, you know, clip over comb, or back then they was pushing us to use more scissor over comb, but I would like in the barbershop, I'm trying to turn it, like, I ain't trying to fade that because I wasn't comfortable cutting it.
I got you. And see, so, what's so funny to me, like, hold on to what you were saying, but what's so, when he, like, listening to your story, my sister is a beautician, like, she was a beautician for a very long time, and she was the complete opposite. Like, she hated, she did not want to do any coarse hair, she wanted straight hair, and she did amazing at supercuts and places like that. And she, that was her preference. Like, she was like, she wouldn't even do my hair.
Nine times out of ten, like, no. She got comfortable doing her hair in school.
Probably so.
She really understood.
Probably so.
That texture of hair.
Yeah.
So it's really, it can go, it doesn't, you know, you can be whatever ethnicity and be comfortable with whatever texture of hair. You know what I'm saying? Just what you're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. But,
that was just one that you kind of, that you struggled with.
Textures of hair. Textures of hair. Coming in this barbershop, in this space, in my test barber space, I've had, you know, you're running a business.
Right.
So now it's different from, you know, coming into someone else's barbershop, cutting and just going home. Now you have to adhere to all the barbers.
Right.
And all of their lives too. Right. So initially
the
for
boss.
Me, it was like,
Now, what is that your personality? Like, are you a natural?
Because
some people fail at business because they don't have that they're not personable. Like, they're dope at their job,
right.
They're dope at their craft, but they don't necessarily know how to run the business. So that's why you would have like some people who are business managers, or they manage the business. Like, was that something that was hard for you, or you easily maneuvered in that because it's like, yo, this is me. This is my name on this business.
So I would say that it definitely wasn't an easy task at hand, right? I would say that it was more or less like, for me, you have to experience it to get better at it, right? So being in that space initially, I was always wanting the barbers to see things or, you know, adhere to them as if they were me.
Yeah.
Just my passion, like, bro, why y'all ain't staying late? Or why aren't y'all, you know, coming earlier?
Yeah.
You know, it's Saturday. Why you coming in at 11?
Yeah.
And you got all these people waiting. Like, what you doing?
Yeah.
But you saying, oh, man, can you give me a couple more days to pay the rent? Like, hold on, bro. That ain't business.
Yeah.
That's not what you signed.
Yeah. Okay. So you got your paperwork lined up.
Just talking that talk.
We ain't just talking.
Oh, we ain't just gonna talk that talk.
Right.
Anybody have any issues, you have to have documentation that you go back to.
Yeah.
That's with any kind of agreement. I'm sure y'all got that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Even if it's on an email, it need to be documented right. somewhere. So the mind can sometimes like, man, I thought we was paying. No.
Yeah.
Even if it's on the text, it need to be in black and white. Right. So we have a clear understanding
right.
of what's at hand. Don't nobody, ain't no ifs. Go back in the notes, text, email, whatever right. that is. You need to be handling business.
Yeah. Yeah.
For real.
Okay.
But the barbers was just like, it was, over time, I've gotten a whole lot better. Yeah. My guy Toby, I got to shout out my guy Toby.
Yeah.
He got to cleans up in here. But man, Toby, he tell me all the time, son, nephew, you done growed a lot. I used to be snapping on people's
You
ass.
Used to be snapping. No, you ain't used to be snapping now.
Just keeping it real.
Was people it more
that,
so like
that
about
know
your
me know I got, you know, we
work
got
ethic,
side.
Money, what was it? What was the big, the drive? The drive.
My son.
Uh-huh.
My son, looking at, I was at the barbershop when he was born, the mm-hmm. other barbershop he used to work at. On my 26th birthday, I told Stacy Process having Ocean. It's just like some crank up. I'm sure you experienced that with your kids.
Yeah.
My son, and initially it was the money. I can honestly say that.
Yeah.
Initially it was the money, but that racing after that money, you're going to run into a dead end every time.
Right.
Every time. Every right. time you go to chasing that bag.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's what we say loosely. But we got to be mindful of what we put into the atmosphere. You don't need to chase that bag.
So what you chasing?
I'm chasing what the Lord told me to do.
Okay.
Which is I go out to his people. Okay. And when I go out to his people, that the money going to come.
Okay.
The money going to be there.
Listen.
I ain't coming up short on nothing.
Yeah.
If I'm doing what he asked me to do. But you got to tap into self to get to the Lord. You got to understand what, you know, your purpose out here.
Yeah.
All that stuff. So at Publix, when I asked the Lord, you know, to align me with what he had for me, he told me to go back to what made me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So I thought about it and I was like, what have I done
that makes you happy?
That made me happy, and just be in that, you know, in that zone. You know what I'm saying? Other than being in the pocket playing quarterback. And the zone is, you know, in the pocket playing quarterback, everything moving, but you homed in on the play, so you can't hear none of the crowd.
Right.
But you just running the play. So for me, I was like, what is that if it's not football? So I just envisioned me looking at the paper, drawing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, my dad always wanted me to draw. He was hounding me about going to art school.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie, pushed it away.
Mm-hmm.
But the barbering aspect, it was like, that's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But I was like kind of reluctant at first because I got to talk to a person.
You got to talk to the person.
I don't know if I want
to
do that.
You got to talk to the person.
But when I got in the space at Travis, and Miss Tidwell told me, Prince, verbatimly, Prince, if you're going to be successful at this business, you're going to have to talk. I don't know what clicked, Jazz. Right. I started talking.
Yeah.
You couldn't have paid me to do what I'm doing right now with you.
Right, right.
When I was his age, man, I wouldn't. No, I ain't saying nothing to nobody. I'm
He like that right now.
I ain't saying nothing. But like we all know, close mouths don't get
at
big.
All. Right.
Don't open your mouth and see how successful you are. Because over time, the Lord has showed me, and we see it all the time.
Yeah.
The more successful you are, the more people want to know your story.
Exactly.
So if you ain't talking, you're really losing.
Right. That's true. That's very true.
And you're losing from the Lord first now,
because
he wants you to tell your testimony.
Right.
So people know that he real.
So is this your you feel like this is your testimony?
Yeah, just letting people know my downfalls, you know, my shortcomings. I ain't perfect. I know I make it look good, but man, this shit ain't easy.
I know. You've taken some losses.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How have you come back from those losses? Like,
I done took major financial losses. I won't say major. It was major at the time. I remember giving a guy like a paying $1,500 for this building in Ocala. This guy told me I used to be a promoter too. I mean, I still have the barber bouts and stuff with Amway, but my initial promoting days, I had gave this guy $1,500 at this bar in Ocala.
Yeah.
Rented the building, not banking on somebody else promoting the event, listening to them about this and that and this. I get people to come. When I tell y'all ain't now
nobody
one person come. Not one.
Yeah.
I think the people came in from the other side and got a drink and was like, where everybody at?
Mm-hmm.
But right there in that moment, that's when I knew I'm an entrepreneur.
Uh-huh. Cause you don't took a loss.
I'm official now.
Yeah, okay.
I'm official now. The only way I push back from that is just I continue to go.
You know? So how you got it back?
I got that $1,500 back. Mm-hmm. It took like 2 days for me to like. I mean, we don't lie.
Well, see, and I was just saying, like, holistically, but philosophically, like, not even philosophically, like, okay, that, I took an L on that. Now with this venture, how can I make 3,000? I thought that's what you was going to say. What you talking about, customer?
I chilled out for a little while. It was kind of like, you know, your girlfriend left you for a couple of days.
Yeah.
You know? I had people at the time, but my little heart was broke.
My heart was broke.
Oh, I waking up in the middle of the night like, I'm a little 1,500.
Well, yeah.
But I was like, that's what they always told me.
Yeah. You know? You'll remember that feeling and you don't want that feeling again. So
now, as an entrepreneur, I do the research. You know what I'm saying? I take my time. I have rushed into some things. But at the same time, a lot of stuff, like we stopped doing the car wash simply because the landlord wouldn't adhere to it. He told me that we could. I personally don't like to put my name on things and then it stops. I don't like to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but in all reality, to me, that has pushed me and driven me to just get my own space so I can really do.
That's the best way to go. Yeah.
The best way to do it, having your own.
Yeah.
Really, to me, that's the only way to do it.
So I do agree with you on that. Like you've transitioned and you've maneuvered. You know how to have a successful barbershop. Like probably you could sell a master course on entrepreneurship with the barbershop. So you know you've done that because you've been doing it for over a decade.
Right.
And so like that's under your belt. And so I saw that you transitioned into apparel. So I understand where that came from because that's kind of like you being the artistic person that you are. So you came out with these lines, the line of like the leather, apron. You call them the aprons? Because I was going to say a smock, but it's an apron.
Yes,
and you know, you had, you know, your shoes going on, you know, you had a whole full apparel line. Like, I'm like, tell me how that's going. Cause like
preciouslife.com.
Yeah. Look, your style is unique. Like like the shoes that you had, like, look, I said, Prince, these shoes from your line. And he was like, no, these red bottoms. I'm like, well, excuse me. Cause you know.
Just some shoes.
But I thought that they were from your line. Like I do like it. Like and shout outs to Stacey. Cause I'm pretty sure like that eye catching moment, you know, came from her vision, but you know, everything behind the aesthetic of it, you know, is you. So, you know, shouts out to you for even jumping in that avenue. Like what made you want to do that?
So my senior thesis was on fashion.
Okay.
In high school. That's another part of Prince that I didn't bring up.
Mm-hmm.
That I've always inspired. I love fashion.
Love fashion.
I love it. It's a different way
to
express ourselves without talking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So a lot of conversation that I would be in or have with people would be simply because of what I have on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So for me, that's a marketing tool. If I'm always known to be clean, like they looking, right? So I ain't got to say nothing, but they looking.
They looking.
Just like celebrities, right?
Right.
We go on their pages like, let me see what said got on a war to this, right? To get ideas, right? Or you go on certain pages to look at their drip, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But for me, fashion came from my mom.
Yeah.
The clothing line, I initially was scared of it. I was like, not knowing the business. I was thinking that I would have to invest so much money back in my early 20s or whatnot. I was like, man, I don't know if I want to do that. Cause I ain't got no $100 to invest.
Right.
So, doing research, getting a better understanding of it, you can always have a boutique, right?
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, a lot of people shop online.
Even
prior to COVID, I know the numbers have definitely went up since COVID. A lot of people at home, door dashing and all the other stuff.
Right.
At home ordering. That's when we came out with the website. The clothing, we focus on definitely good quality materials, you know, everyday wear. A lot of the stuff like this right here ain't even came out yet.
Yeah, that's nice.
Thank you.
It is nice. Like, you know, you're not doing the hoochie daddy, shorts, and I appreciate that.
But I always like them over my knees, though. I like the shorts over my knees. Oh, you like to show your knees? That's considered hoochie daddy. I don't know what y'all.
It's not, you know, I say about 3 inches above your knee. Like, just keep it, you know, a little itched.
You might catch me at the beach with the hoochie daddies on. I ain't gonna lie. You know, out there with ocean.
Look, I kind of like, you know, you secure your masculinity. Yeah. You'll rock it. Oh, just yeah, rock sure. it. All right.
I want to be comfortable. I ain't worried about what y'all talking about on social media.
But it's nice, and I can tell that it is good quality. It's not like you can tell that the fabric is really nice. And so you have the clothing line, the fashion line. Where do you see yourself going next? Because I see that you're kind of venturing off into real estate. Mm-hmm. You know, that bug has bitten you. And so, I mean, what do you see yourself having a ceiling, or do you want to keep going? Like, what would make you say, okay, boom, this is all I wanted. These are all the avenues that I have covered. This is my vision of me being successful. What's that? What does that look like for you?
So I would say I'm definitely successful already.
Mm-hmm.
The end goal for me is a standalone barbershop in Lakeland, at least 5 more locations, just to give other people opportunities to be a part of what the Lord has blessed me with.
Mm-hmm.
My vision in this business, because I could tell you multiple names of other successful barbers that have come through Montez Barbershop. So we just want to definitely get that out to the people. Real estate, it ain't no roof on that. Like, I mean, that's one of the things. We just, you know, opportunities to show face. We making plays on that. We're definitely going to have a restaurant at some point here.
Okay.
The clothing line, you know, just coming out with different lines and kind of, I know with most fashion designers, they drop, you know, by the season. I'm going to continue to do what I do. Like, I'm going to wear my stuff. Yeah. You know, you will see people with it on. We might not drop something for a little while, but just know we always
still
cooking.
There. Still there. Still there.
That ain't going nowhere. That's just what we do. But more or less, real estate, endless barbershop, at least like 7 barbershops. What else we got going on? We also have the barber battle in Orlando. With that, we're looking to go more so expo, and even considering selling like 49% of it to, you know, bring in a bigger outlook of that to obviously give more opportunities, but tap in with a bigger audience of people in the area and capitalize off the NBA. I would say my goal has always been to be like 53. When I kind of like sit down.
Just retire just to be able to.
Yeah, kind of like just be more so an overseer.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'll be 38 this year, so I got a few more.
You're well on your way. Like you have done now what a lot of people strive to do their entire life. Like you're there, you know. And I feel like you are an inspiration to a whole tribe of people who are coming up under you. I do want to end the show with you just telling us, you know, just coins, like just pieces of advice for fathers, mm-hmm. pieces of advice for those thinking about going into entrepreneurship. Because one thing that I see, like I said, and I keep saying it, that with you, a characteristic of you is that I see that you have a steady progression.
Right.
It's not like you feel like you have plateaued and you're complacent. I see that you try to get better every time we see you doing something or a venture. And so one of the conferences, you went to one of the conferences that I wanted to go to, but I didn't get a chance to go to. You went to the GOAT conference. And so tell me about that experience briefly, but then go back and tell us like just pieces of advice that you would give to fathers and to entrepreneurs out there.
Gotcha. So we're going to start with the fathers. Fathers, daddies, stepdaddies, guardians,
yeah,
coaches, whomever you are as a male figure, please continue to pour into our future.
Yeah.
Please continue to, you know, step up and be that man they need to see on a regular that gives advice. You know, talk to the kids. If you're not a talker, please lead by example. If you do, you know, do those things that they shouldn't see, please stay away from doing it in front of them. You know what I'm saying? Please don't be a hypocrite. But, Father, just be there. On a daily basis, you know what I'm saying? Just be there. Give me some a day, you know. Give them a hug, you know. Tell them how much you love them. You know what I'm saying? I know my dad and a lot of other people, they, you know, your dads don't tell you I love you. I tell my dad all the time I love him. I tell my kids all the time I love them because I love them.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to hear that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To take you to that next level of just like, they rocking with me. They rocking with me. I needed to hear that. You know what I'm saying? Similar to you walk in the barbershop and somebody, you speak.
Yeah.
Right? But on the entrepreneur side.
Sir, before you get to entrepreneurs, what about those fathers who aren't the full-time fathers in their child's life? Like, what about the ones that split time? Like, what advice would you give to them? And I'm going to ask you a so unconventional question because it was just burning. It was just burning in my brain on my way here. And I was like, I'm going to ask them because, you would be the right person to ask. So what advice would you give to those fathers before my little burning question with that?
The fathers that aren't there continue to reach out to your kids. I mean, my son doesn't stay with me. He stays with his mother. And, you know, huge shout out to all the dads that take care of their kids. But, bro, they still handle you by child support, bro. Keep doing your thing.
Yeah.
Keep doing your thing. Do not let no woman slow you down. Do not let no woman hold no child pun over you. Hey, bro, get lawyered up on her, bro. Keep it G.
Get lawyered up on them.
But at the same time, you know, just don't put your kids in the middle of the disagreeing of you two, right? If that's what the case is, you know what I'm saying? Make sure they know how much you love them. Call them on a daily basis if they honor your house. You know, make sure your people good. Make sure your child, you know, getting his grades right.
Right.
You know, I call PJ all the time and just talk to him. He's gotten used to it now, but at one point he would kind of like be like, hello, like, can I talk? Like, I'm at my mama's house, like, now, you know, you just go to talking to him and making it comfortable for him, but just making yourself vulnerable. I talked about that in another video the other day. Mm-hmm. Just making yourself vulnerable as a person and opening up to your kids.
Man. To your kids.
Got Here, to.
Here's my unconventional question.
It
is. Watch. Listen to it when I ask you this. It is unconventional.
I got some.
Because I want to know, you know, how important, because I see you as a successful businessman.
Right.
When I hear fathers say that they are concerned and that they are great dads, et cetera, here's what I always wonder. Like, if they're not in the same household.
Right.
If you have the means to do this, would you be that father, and you may already be that father, would you be that father to make sure that your child who's not with you 100% of the time is afforded the lifestyle without you being in the household? Like, would you take measures, like, if let's just say in a perfect world, you have a great co-parenting relationship. And because this is what I wonder. Like, I'm gonna tell you what my measure of a push for me.
Right.
Because I consider myself to be successful, but I've always, since I didn't plan to be like a single mother or whatever, like I planned to do it together. Right. But I feel like if my kids go to their dad's house and they're living a certain lifestyle, when they come back to me, it's so important that, or whoever, like if it's if it's up, down, whatever. My thing is, I want to show my kids that it's not going to change whether you go there or you go here.
Right.
So as a father, if the mother is not there yet, what role do you think the father should play in that? Or do you feel that there's no role that the father should play in that?
So I feel like it should be an agreement with the parents. Even if, see, I'm on the opposite side of you.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know.
But we're on the right side because we can vibe
Sure. To me, I feel the same way you feel, that it should be, you know, one lifestyle across the board.
Right.
But both parents have to adhere to, you know, instilling the same principles in the kids. Otherwise, it's going to be up and down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So for me, it's like, it's a battle.
Yeah.
It's a battle trying to accomplish that. So I've tried it, you know, and, you know, a lot of parents, to me, use the kids as pun on both spectrums, male and female, to not give them what they have, to use that as a
like
come over here with me
Because you'll be living in a life. Like,
yeah, but to me, it shouldn't be like that. You know what I'm saying? I got this for you when you come home. Right. Like, don't call him and tell her and tell him you just got them the new iPhone. Why?
Right.
Why are you doing that?
Okay.
Just have it on the bed when they get there.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't try to, you know what I'm saying, hold something over my head. Because come on now. Yeah. This is our child.
Right.
Although we don't see eye to eye, we aren't together. Yeah. And even if you are seeing eye to eye, this is our child. We're doing this, what we're doing, raising the child together.
Right. See, that's,
so we have
that's,
to work together.
That's just always been like a question. I'm like, you know, even if it's a female, like, dude, or, you know,
well,
like.
Y'all wouldn't be tripping now.
Like, don't do us like that.
I wouldn't be tripping. I'm just playing.
So,
men can be tripping too now.
They can be. Hey. Thank you for answering that question. I always felt like, you know, if y'all were dope before, you know, and you made sure that everything was here, I feel like the situation at any house that they go to should be the same. You should be working together to make sure that that lifestyle doesn't change. So thank you for that.
It's only going to help them be more successful.
Listen,
too.
And we can go deeper in that. Like, I think I'm going to just open up a whole podcast show to that at one point.
I think you might go viral off that.
Look, at one point, I'm just how females and males, we're going to go back and forth on that. But the entrepreneurship tip, what coins do you have on that?
As an entrepreneur, I feel like we have to step back and do more research.
Yeah.
Prior to going into it, we look online. Social media is a great platform for a lot of the right reasons and a lot of the wrong reasons. And the reason I say that is because we look at a lot of people for their success, and a lot of people really aren't doing as well as they look.
Yeah.
Right? So we can put on this persona on the internet that it really is. And for me personally, I've taken a little break from Instagram for that reason. Because, I mean, I ain't gonna lie, I'm eating. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you eating. Yeah,
I'm blessed and highly favored. But at the same time, we have to factor in, what are you really trying to accomplish, right? Yeah. So in order for you to go to the next level in any aspect of life, right, you got to think about, what did you pray for, right? So once you figure out what you prayed for, you have to factor in all the ups and downs that come with that, right? All the trials and tribulations that come with getting over to that end goal, right? A lot of people don't factor that in. So once you factor that in, then you go back to lining everything up. But for me, I had to take a step back from Instagram and really social media. We got the baby. I'm doing stuff in real life. I got this. Now I got a few cases I'm going. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. With the, it's a lot going on. So for me, I felt like something has to give, right? And social media, currently, I'm not monetized from social media, so I was like, I ain't making no. I mean, I'm getting leads all the time from hashtags. I still get customers from hashtags. So technically, I'm making money from social media.
Right.
But social media is not paying me currently. Right. So at this point, I've stepped back away from it to strategize and be more direct about utilizing social media.
Gotcha.
So when I come back full-fledged, it's making sense for me to do what I'm doing, and they're actually paying me from social media, right?
Right.
So I would say just to make sure you know what you're getting yourself into. Don't allow social media to alter what you felt like was one way and it actually is another way. So do your research. If you jump out there, ain't nothing wrong with that. A lot of entrepreneurs do it. But just know that you only lose when you stop.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, man, you took an L on that one. You lost $1,500. I heard you on Jazz Show. I learned a lesson.
Yeah.
I ain't took a loss yet.
Yeah.
Because I learned what not to do. So when I approach that promoting the next time, guess what? I ain't used to do.
Gotcha. Are you approachable when it comes to people wanting to know the business? Like, because, you know, when I fully step out into entrepreneurship, it's like, I consider people, successful people in the Polk County area and surrounding people in surrounding areas. But I always wonder, would they want to help me? Like, would they pour into me? Like, I think they should pour into me. Like, if somebody comes to you, do you pour into them? Or are you the type that's like, look, I had to do my research.
No.
I had to go and spend countless hours doing this and doing that. why would I give you the cheat code, you know, when I had to do this? Like, what's your... And I don't mean to put you on blast like that, because there are some people who...
I'm giving the cheat code.
And either way, because I know there are some people that's like, you know, pay for my knowledge, and that's dope too, and it's respectable.
Depending on
the
circumstances.
Look, and I'm laughing because it's like, huh, I thought you were going to say pay me.
No, depending on the circumstances. So for me, when it's a young, you know, or old, whoever you are, person that's inspired to do what they're doing, right? Now, if they using my knowledge to make money, y'all want to cut then. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But if we just sitting down, you looking to go out and, you know, get to the next level, it's love. Mm-hmm. It's love. And I mean, it's a favor. It's always a barter. So when you get to where you're trying to get to.
That's the key word. It's, the barter system. Yeah.
It's business. You know what I'm saying?
It's business. So
it's not always that it has to be monetized.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of value.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it come down to it. I might, you know, have Jazz on my show. Like, yeah, I ain't charged, but I need you on mine.
Hey, I'm there.
I'm going to interview you.
I got you. I got you.
It's love.
I got you.
That's how it's supposed to be. No, I don't have a problem with sharing knowledge. That's what we're doing at the Dream Center.
Exactly.
We don't have a problem with sharing
knowledge. Exactly.
So to me, as a community of people, we have to share more knowledge to power up. We got to do it.
Yeah, we do.
Right? It's a lot of information that we just don't share. Mm-hmm. And like, come on, man. If you know it, teach your kids.
Absolutely.
You know, teach your homeboy. The people that you care about, share them. Tell them how to build their credit up, how to get to the next level, how to get business funding for their podcast or whatever else you're doing. Why wouldn't you tell them?
Exactly. And so, like, I love how you're pouring into the youth. I love how you're pouring into your kids. You are, in fact, a dope dad.
Thank you.
You know, we stamping that into stone.
For sure.
And so thank you so much for being my final interviewee for the month of June. Man, like, I think I went out with a bang because, you know, you're such a plethora of knowledge and you're just a genuine guy.
For sure.
And, you know, we celebrated fathers all June. So wrapping this up with
Happy Father's Day, all the fathers out there.
Right. Happy Father's Day.
You guys deserved it.
Lead us out with what's your favorite thing about being a dad?
My favorite thing about being a dad is just being able to, you know, help my kids get to their dreams.
Yeah.
Being a part of that. You know what I'm saying? Like really seeing it through. Because, you know, it takes time.
Yeah.
It don't happen overnight.
It does not. Saying?
So just being there, seeing them grow. Seeing my son sometime, like, man, I ain't did a gig in a little while. Like, he looking at me like,
what am I supposed to do, Dad? What am I supposed to do, Dad?
Right. So it's a beautiful thing, man. But I love every second of it. I love every second.
That's good. And I'm pretty sure they love every second of you. So continue being a good dad, dope dad. Continue to be a great entrepreneurship. And yes. Thank you for being on episode 35. Look, he is razor sharp. That's why I titled this episode. This is episode 35.
Sharper than iron.
Yes. Episode 35 of the Jazzy Conversations with Jazz podcast. Make sure that you tune in on June 27th, because that's when this episode will air on June 27th. This episode and every episode airs every Monday. So check me out on Facebook, Instagram, and on YouTube. And listen, where all podcasts air. Keep in contact with me by following me on all of those socials at Jazzy Conversations with Jazz. I'll see you back for episode 36. Hey.